We're going to be talking about beaches this morning, particularly the traffic situation at Inch Beach. We're going to start, though, and talk about the ecological damage caused by a fire which burned over 3 acres of special area of protection, special conservation area sand dunes at the Maharees yesterday. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail with Hugh Roberts of the Maharees Conservation Association Dune Management Committee. Hugh, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning. We've seen the pictures and the videos. Tell me what happened when you first got the call that something had gone wrong and a fire had started in this very unique and fragile area.
Yeah, hi Jerry, thanks for having us on. About 12:30 yesterday, we had a message on our WhatsApp group about a lot of smoke coming from the dunes. So somebody on the scene called the fire brigade, and in fairness, they came very, very promptly. There's about 40 volunteers then who'd got together from the locality. So there's some of the surfing schools that are there, Spillane's Bar, and local farmers bought a water bowser. And what they did was they sort of formed a group, and they sort of started bringing water from the beach. And when the fire brigade arrived, they had fire flaps that they were distributing then to help help bring the fire under control. So the area itself is kind of, as you're driving up the Maharees out towards the end of the Maharees, it's the on the sort of Blandon Bay side, if you like, of the dunes. That area is very... like I say, it's very, very fragile. It's the area we've been mainly trying to protect because of the, you know, effect of storm surges and higher sea levels as well. So it was very, very disheartening to see. But, you know, we're hoping that the dune will recover. But like I say, about 3 acres has been burnt, and we're lucky. There was no property damage. The wind at the time was quite light, so it didn't. Luckily, didn't fan the flames too quickly.
Yeah. Conditions were benign from that point of view. Very light wind yesterday. Very warm, all right, but very light wind. If the wind had been higher and it was more blustery, you could have been in real trouble.
Could have been, yeah, because, like I say, the marram grass is so dry at the moment. It's like a tinderbox there. And you had to be so careful, really, with any... You know, we're not sure what caused the fire, but we have to be so careful there with any... you know, any naked flames, like a discarded cigarette, or, you know, like a faulty vape. So you hear about faulty vapes going up on fire in people's pockets. So if any vapes are discarded like that, you know, you have to be really careful or anything like that. So, and obviously, you know, no campfires or fires anywhere in the area is definitely advised.
Don't flick a cigarette onto the ground anywhere near the area, because this is what can happen. It's been incredibly warm, as you said. It's very, very dry. How many people were involved in responding to the emergency, and did that really help stop it in its tracks, Hugh?
It did, yeah, they did a fantastic job. There was, like I say, around 40 people involved. So we had the two surfing schools there, Jamie Knox Surf School and Splash Sports are there, and so they had their crew on, and then Spillane's Bar staff came down. There was a lot of visitors to the beach at the time. They came up and helped. Other locals came down as well. And like I say, it was a big community effort. And without those people there, the fire would have spread much faster. So it was a great job.
In that, it was there was ecological damage. Did you see remnants of animals and insects and invertebrate parts of it that died, unfortunately?
Possibly. It's very hard to say. Because, yeah, like you say, there's very high biodiversity in the dunes. You know, we have, you know, natterjack frogs. We have lots of different types of butterflies and insects, and obviously birds could be nesting in there as well. So it's hard to say. I haven't really walked through the entire scene to sort of check.
Yeah,
like that, because
3 acres or so, Hugh. It was this, in Israel, was as bad as that was. It could have been a whole lot worse.
It could have been, yeah, because if the wind had increased, or, you know, then it could have started, you know, really going out of control even faster, or it could have, the wind changed direction in any way as well. So it's, I think, you know, it could have really gone much worse, yeah, much quicker.
Yeah. Hugh, look, the response was amazing, and it did make a huge difference here. I know you're doing a lot of work anyway, but what do you say to people who are, and we had reports at the weekend in different parts of West Kerry of people who were going, telling others who were, you know, asking what they were doing. They were, oh, we're going wild camping and heading off into the, you know, mountainside and beach sides, and our beaches are getting packed. It's busy. The second level schools are out. We're at the start of the summer in very warm weather. What's your advice for people on what not to do in order to prevent these things from happening?
Yeah, I mean, we love seeing people down the beach. It's great. And, you know, that's why, you know, it's one of the most beautiful areas in the country. So, but we'd be really thankful if people just, you know, keep to designated access paths. And there are good access paths onto the beach. They don't need to walk over the dunes at all. Certainly no wild camping. One of the reasons we set up Maharees Conservation Association was in 2016. One of the main reasons was to try to make the dunes more resilient. And one of the main things there is by actually, excuse me, controlling access. And also we've been using chestnut fencing to help the sand and the marram grass recover and build up. So by staying off the dunes and not camping on them, not trampling on them, certainly not making fires, you know, that will really help in the dune recovering and then protecting our community from, you know, potential higher sea levels and, you know, storm surges, which we have seen. So the minute the marram grass goes, the sand is exposed, and that's when the wind takes it. So, you know, when we, back in 2013, 2014, we were getting the council out 12, 15 times a year to clear sand off the road. You know, now, since our efforts to help the dune recover, you know, it's very rare that they have to come and clear sand now, which is great. So it's a community effort, and it's an effort from everybody who comes to visit the Maharees to help with those.
Yeah, that's a concrete example there of the work that you've done is keeping the land, keeping the area, keeping the sand bound to the marram grass, keeping it all intact the way it's meant to be.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if people weren't there, you know, you'd have a pristine, perfect sand dune system, which would be, you know, it would manage itself quite well, I'm sure. But, yeah, we just have to sort of tread carefully around it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and you would hope that this isn't the start of a summer of these fires, depending on how the weather goes, of course, as well. Hugh, your work continues, Hugh, in the conservation area.
It does. So last night, for example, we had, there's about 15 volunteers down, all helping putting up new chestnut fencing along a stretch of the coast there, just again to help the, you know, again, prevent people from climbing the dune. The main thing, because the dunes also, especially in this dry weather, become very unstable, and climbing on the dune can cause them to collapse. And we've had tragic circumstances in the past with dune collapses. So our volunteers have helped putting up fencing, and fencing not only slows the wind and the sand movement down, so it allows the dune to grow as well. So it's a twofold, you know, multiple reasons why we put the fencing there. So yeah, it'd be great. Anybody who wants to come and help, if you check our Facebook page, you know, we have fencing evenings, we have things stuff with marram grass planting, we have lots of activities, biodiversity walks and things like this. So there's loads going on, and that people can actually help and learn about the area.
Yeah, is the key thing that people need to realise, even you're talking there about not walking, not climbing, and that people need to realise that this really is an incredibly fragile area of land. There's a reason why it's called a special area of conservation, that they just need to recognise that when they are there.
Exactly. And the marram grass, it looks tough and things, but it doesn't actually take much. You know, you might come there yourself once and you'll walk over it and you don't think anything of it. But, you know, if that happens over and over again and you don't see the visitors who've been there previously or who are coming after you as well, and obviously that builds up, and therefore, the result is that an area then gets trampled, and the marram grass just can't handle much trampling at all. So, and that's what happens, really, is, you know, or car trucks going over the dune, or, you know, quad biking or motorbikes, anything like that would absolutely rip up the marram grass. So, you know, it really doesn't take much to make it unstable. So, so if left alone, it's absolutely amazing stuff for finding the sand. So really, that is the that's the key message, really, is to stay off the dunes and just let them recover and let them get really strong, you know.
All right, Hugh, listen, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us this morning and outline what happened yesterday. Thankfully, it wasn't worse than it was, bad and all, as it was with 3 acres of them being burned. That's Hugh with us there from the Maharees Conservation Association. Hugh Roberts of the Maharees Conservation Association Dune Management Committee, talking about the importance of it, what you need to do, how you need to respect it. And please, God, just do not light a fire near it. Do not flick out a cigarette. Don't do anything that risks something like that happening, because, as I said, without the help of that 40 people who spotted it, jumped into action, organised and helped damp it down. Or if it had been a windier day, and tomorrow is due to be pretty blustery, even though it'll still be warm, it could have been so much worse.